Just there are some passages in Scripture that just come to mind time and again. And this is one of those passages. And I know I've spoken to you from it on different occasions. And I just feel like we need to look at it again. Romans chapter 13. And it has to do with time. And time, we know, is running short. Our daylight is increasing as far as that time is concerned, praise God. But I think we need to be aware again of where we are in terms of what the Lord has in store. And then, not only that, but our responsibility. So let's read Romans 13, beginning at verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now that's there's a lot of preaching in that one verse. But I want to go on because it describes responsibility, response, and action that has to be taken. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So the works of darkness compared to the armor of light. And then another, let us, in verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Okay, so again, some direction, some necessity there as to where we need to be. And then put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Very important instruction. And was certainly important in Paul's time with the Roman presence and all of the aspects that would involve with their denial of God. Well, they had gods and Mars and Jupiter and so on that weren't gods, but they allowed debauchery. They allowed warfare, mistreatment, lack of peace, all of those things, the opposite of what Jesus Christ provided. And so if they were opposite, then obviously let's get rid of them. And it's time. It's time. Praise God. And that's what we want to examine here today. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. Those of you who studied foreign language, you know, that used to be a requirement in high school, and you had to have it in college as well. In fact, choirs, you remember if you sang in a choir, there was one that was in foreign language, you didn't know what in the world you were singing, but you had to memorize the words, and you sang away in a different language. That's not so great an emphasis anymore, I guess, maybe not. But if you did take a foreign language, there were phrases that you had to learn, and you memorized them, whether you were able to speak them adequately or not. But what time is it was probably one of those phrases, right? Wie viel Uhr ist das? Sprechen Sie Deutsch? In Tlingit, and time wasn't really that important to until European contact. But they learned to say, what time is it? And Tlingit is kind of hard sometimes because of the, it's similar to German. Chun is the Chun Gausia. That's what time is it in Tlingit. And how is it in Spanish? What? Oh, okay. So there's the rolling the R's that I can't do. I would not make it speaking Spanish very well. But the time is always important for us to be aware of. And this scripture is telling us it's high time. And what does that mean? It means the time is now. You know how late it is. Time is running out. I like the Living Bible from time to time because of how plain it puts it. You know how late it is. Time is running out. Amen. And it's already the time. The hour has come. We'll see that phrase, the hour has come, show up here in a little bit. But I'm thankful that the scripture lets us know God is faithful to generations. You look at Matthew and you try to figure out, now why is it important for us to know who begat who? And the interesting thing about Matthew is he lists four that shouldn't even be in there. But because of God's mercy, because of God's love, because of his blessing, Rahab's included, Ruth's included. Amen. And several others that you wonder, okay, they're not in Hebrew lineage, but the Lord has provided a way, and I'm thankful he included us. I don't have Hebrew blood. I've got English blood and Tlingit blood, but no Hebrew. The Lord said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to include you. Praise God. And thank the Lord he did the same for you and for me. Matthew has generations from Abraham to Jesus. Luke has generations from Jesus to Adam. So it doesn't matter if you're going forward or you're going backward. The Lord is faithful. In fact, in several places, and Deuteronomy 7 and 9 in particular, we're going to look at, the Lord is faithful to 1,000 generations. Matthew has 48 generations listed there. The Lord's faithful to 1,000. Praise God. That ought to encourage us that we know no matter how far removed we are from the beginning, our God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7 and 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Praise God. That builds my confidence. That helps me to understand the Lord's not going to leave you and forsake you. He's going to be there to provide for you in a special way. Now consider who this God is. And I like from time to time to revisit verses that I've spent a lot of time in. I've preached about, I've prayed about, I've read over and over. And Isaiah 57 and 15 is one of those passages. Isaiah 57 and 15, this describes who the God is that we're putting our trust in, the faithful God, the one who is going to continue through all the covenants that he has made. I'm thankful that he's not untouchable. I'm thankful he's not unapproachable. He invites the humble and the contrite to dwell with him and to come before him. So this is how it reads. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can identify who he is and where he is. He's in eternity. We have a hard time grasping those aspects. Have you heard a description of eternity? I remember the first one that I heard when I was a new Christian. If the earth were a steel ball. That's a big ball bearing, isn't it? And a sparrow once a year would fly the circumference of that steel ball, brushing its wing against the side of that steel ball. By the time it wore it down to nothing, eternity would just be beginning. Well, that's beyond comprehension. So it's hard to get a definition of eternity, but that's where he lives. That's where he abides. That's where he is forever. And that's where he invites us to come and live with him. Praise God. When we're humble, we're contrite, we're saying, Lord, I can't make it. Lord, I need you. Lord, let your power come to me. Lord, minister to my needs. Lord, rescue me. Praise God. I'm thankful he doesn't ignore that kind of plea. But he says, you're humble, you're contrite. That's who I'm going to minister to. That's who I'm going to save. That's who I'm going to invite to live with me. Praise God. And oh, I'm thankful that we know who the I am is. Praise God. And know his power is able to minister to us. Also, Isaiah 46 and 10. You've heard me make mention of it many, many times. I'm just going to kind of reminisce here on some of the good things that I find in the word of the Lord. He's not limited by time. He says, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done. That's where God speaks from. That's where God has his viewpoint. That's how he's able to see situations when I can hardly even see into tomorrow. And then sometimes things are going so bad, I don't even want to look into tomorrow. Because all there is trouble and difficulty and heartache. But oh, thank the Lord. He says, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. And so that's who I'm going to stay with. That's who I'm going to hold to. That's who I'm going to rely upon. That's who I'm going to believe. Praise God. It's good to follow and live in his counsel. A lot of counsel that's offered. A lot of situations that are described for you in finance and health and real estate and, oh my goodness, everything that you can find advice for. But I want his counsel. I'm going to live by his counsel. Praise God. It's good to follow what pleases him and what is going to be good in his situations and his time. Because the Bible says he makes everything beautiful in his time. Amen. And I'm thankful that he provides and ministers in that manner, in that way. In fact, let's go ahead and look at Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. Because there's an aspect there about your heart that the Lord ministers in his power and his might. Ecclesiastes 3 and 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. You don't have to worry about this world. Well, you do have to worry about this world to a certain degree. But God is going to make sure it's still here when he sets up his 1,000-year reign of peace. It's going to be beautiful in his time. Praise God. And then look at this. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. I'm sorry, I'm reading from the New International Version. Eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Huh. Not paying attention. Not interested. Not going with what they need to know. God help us to tune in on what the Lord has declared and what he desires. You see, the Lord, in the fullness of time, sent forth his son, born of a woman, made under the law, and so on. The purpose was for a price to be paid for our redemption. A price had to be paid for us to be redeemed from sin. And he willingly came in the plan of God to fulfill that. But there was a recognition of his hour and of his time. Remember the first miracle at a wedding in Cana. And he told his mother, my hour is not yet. But he went ahead and did the work because there were those who did whatsoever he told them to do. Yeah, there's a connection there, isn't there? When you do whatsoever he tells you to do, there's going to be some results. Not just your obedience. Your obedience is important, but there's going to be the miracle. There's going to be the work. There's going to be the hand of God that's going to be displayed. My time is not yet. And then he would say, my time is at hand. Because he recognized how things were going to be fulfilled. Amen. And thank God, when his time was at hand, it began to unfold. The death may have seemed like a finality. The burial may have seemed like it's over. There's nothing that can be reversed. There's nothing that can be changed. But thank God, resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My hour is come, he would declare. And the betrayal would begin to unfold. But yet he would say he's going to be glorified as well. And he said, His Spirit was going to be poured out after he's glorified. What did that mean? It meant the death. It meant the burial. It meant the resurrection, all included in God's plan that was going to be fulfilled right down to the minute detail that he had in his plan. Praise God. And oh, I'm thankful we can put our trust in a God who takes care of every detail, the God who looks over everything and declares, this is how I'm going to make it work. And the church then goes into all the world. And thank God we're able to fulfill what the Lord said in his word, because his time, his hour had been fulfilled. And now it's necessary to proclaim his name, to know the power of his Spirit being poured out. Praise God. And the blessings that would come forth. Brother Reddy shared with me something that he had heard, and something that he tries to recognize and live by. He said, the gospel is only good news when it gets there on time. And of course, that's coming from the heart of a missionary, coming from the heart of someone that he knows there's thousands that yet have to hear what this message has to say. And thank God he is seeing the results and seeing that there are those who will respond. There are those who will believe. There are those who will say, yes, I'm going to obey what the Word of God says. Thank God for the power of the Lord, because we are racing the rapture to the souls that need to hear. The time is short, and the Lord will be returning soon, and getting ready for that day is so important, and reaching out to others to get ready, because we're racing hell to the harvest. And it's important for us to recognize the hand of the Lord can be displayed and bring forth a harvest, amen, in this day and this hour. Revelation 12:12 is something that we can rejoice in, and we can recognize is a difficulty at the same time. Revelation 12:12 says, the devil has come down to you in fierce anger and fury, and because he knows that he has only a short time. And Ephesians tells us we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness. We're in a fight. There's no doubt we're in a fight. And I know that there are those that want it to be just a time of comfort, a time of convenience, and maybe not even a full commitment, just enough to get by. But no, you got to understand, this is a battle, this is a fight, and the devil knows he has just a short time. And so that's why he's unleashing so much upon our world today. That's why he's coming against you with so much today, because he knows that he has but a short time. And thank God we can hold on to that abundant life that the thief is trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we can live in that abundant life and know the power of God is there to minister to us and to lift us up in his goodness and his strength. Consider Noah. Noah, more of a lone figure. We read in the early chapters of Genesis that Enoch walked with God. Enoch would please God. Enoch was not, for God took him. We don't know the details there. We don't know what happened. We know Hebrews 11 says he was translated. He was moved. He was transitioned out of this world into the next, or wherever God had for him. And an incredible victory, incredible power. And we have a glimpse of what the rapture may be like right from the very beginning in Genesis. Praise God. All of a sudden, the church is going to be not, for God will take us out of this world. Let's continue walking with the Lord. Let's continue pleasing him. Amen. Let's continue seeing what God can do. Noah walked with God. Thank the Lord, there's that opportunity that we have to be with the Lord in this world and know that he'll help us, he'll bring us through. Wickedness was in the world in a way that perhaps we can't even imagine. We see what's happening around us now, and we're perplexed, we're concerned, we're upset, we're wondering, oh God, rescue us, Lord, bring us out of here. Evil was throughout the earth. Imagination was only evil and wicked continually. There was no break. There was no change. There was no improvement. It was just a downhill slide. What did Noah do? He obeyed the Lord. The Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the favor you need to find. That's the favor you can grab a hold of. That's the blessing you can maintain and walk with God. Hallelujah. We experience grace that is much greater than sin. Amen. I'm thankful that grace lifts us above sin. The Bible, Peter's second letter, he calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. You mean he held on to that standard? You mean he kept on going in righteousness when the whole world was wicked? You mean he didn't back up, he didn't give up, he didn't compromise in areas of how people should live, how people should behave? No, apparently not. He was a preacher of righteousness, and he held that line. Amen. Because God gave him direction and told him about things that were to come that were not yet seen, and told him to get ready. Praise God. Amen. And that's where we are in our walk with God. The Lord's telling us about things that haven't been seen yet. Oh, yeah, Enoch was taken out. Elijah was taken out. We don't know what exactly happened with Moses. We have these instances and situations that could be the rapture of the church or how it could take place. Philip, in the middle of preaching to the Ethiopian, all of a sudden blasted off in the power of the Spirit. That would be fun. Amen. But we haven't seen it yet, as the millions that have been filled with the Spirit and baptized in his name taken out of this world. Oh my. But we're getting ready, just like Noah was getting ready. And think, just 8 souls entered into that ark. But oh my, Noah and his sons were so thankful that they continued with the work day in, day out. They didn't stop. They didn't halt. They didn't hold back. They didn't take a break. They kept on going. Year after year, decade after decade, score after score, even beyond a century mark, they kept going, kept going, kept going. Amen. And then finally, they entered the ark, and the Lord shut the door. God help us to be ready. Amen. That we can serve him in obedience. And that's what the rest of this scripture talks about. How you're to serve him. Instructions for living in this time. We are to awake out of sleep. We're to cast off the works of darkness. Amen. We're not to continue in those things, not to become accustomed. You know, it's easy to get used to being in the dark. Your eyes are so amazing. I remember in biology class how there's cones, there's rods. Those are the cells in your eyes that can adjust quickly to light and darkness, and it make look monochromatic and so on, you know, black and white in the darkness. But your eyes are so quick to adjust. That's incredible. But God doesn't want you to adjust to the evil of this world. God doesn't want you to just kind of shrug and say, oh, well, that's the way it goes, I guess. That's the way Hollywood wants it. That's the way the media is going to present it. Oh, well, what can I do? You can keep yourself pure. You can keep yourself separated. You can keep yourself in obedience to the Word of God. You can keep yourself awake, amen, and not in the works of darkness, but putting on the armor of light. Praise God, armor of light. What does that mean? Think about what the apostles saw when they went with Jesus up on the mountain. They were sleepy. They were tired. They were kind of worn out. That was a long climb. They began to doze. But all of a sudden they looked, and here's Jesus shining brighter than the sun. Praise God. Amen. And there's Moses in the promised land. Yeah. And there's Elijah. And they heard the voice, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. The Almighty God was saying, I'm in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Praise God. And oh, that brightness, hallelujah. Whenever they saw angels, there was a brightness. God help us to walk in that brightness. Not because we want to have a glow around about us and everybody recognize, oh my, look at that. No, because we're fighting against evil. because we're fighting against the one who wants to accuse you and wants to pull you down. You know, by the way, the accuser has got to have something to accuse you with, right? And so he's going to drag up your past. He's going to drag up the things that you've done. He'll make fun of the mistakes that you made. But oh, I'm thankful we can just remind him, devil, there was a price paid. You thought you were killing the prince. You thought you were doing away with the Lord of glory. But what he was doing was paying the price for my sins. And now his blood covers me, praise God, because I've been buried in his precious name. And his name applies that blood and brings me into the place where there's a purity, there's a forgiveness, hallelujah, there's a redemption, amen. And the devil walked away from that. The devil used to be in the presence of the Lord. He used to be involved in worship, but he became so proud that he was cast out. Thank God, we're not going to be cast out. We're going to be caught up, hallelujah, into the presence of the Lord. And it's okay to remind him of that. He tries to bring up your past. He tries to bring up your mistakes. He tries to accuse you. And thank God, we can continue on with him. And not only will he try to bring up your past, but he'll try to find fault with you now, today. But oh, thank God, there's victory in Jesus. There's power in his name. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. All of those promises that are there, that's the armor of light. Thank God. Walk honestly. Well, honesty is not only the best policy, it's the only policy. What do you mean? Here's the key. You got to be honest with yourself. Sometimes it's easy for us to just kind of slip along and feel like, oh, well, it's this way, it's that way, or whatever, you know, and we make excuses for ourselves. Be honest with yourself and move into the realm of prayer and believing and trusting and relying upon the Lord. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let that be your identity. Let that be who you walk with. Let that be who you call upon. Praise God. Put him on. It's clothe yourself with Jesus. Why? So that your life is hid in Christ Jesus. Amen. And no accusation. No condemnation. No coming forth with, you know, look at your faults. Look at what you did. The devil's good at that, isn't he? But thank God, the Lord's even better, and his power and his blessings are there for you and to minister to you, praise God, and to strengthen you so that you can be ready. It's time. It's time, praise God, to move us into the realm that God wants us to be and to be blessed in his presence and his strength. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Well, I'm already saved. Yeah, it's like 2 Corinthians 1 and 10, the progression that's there. We were delivered, we are being delivered, and we will be delivered. Praise God, because of the power of the Lord working in our lives. I don't have to settle down into the mully grubs or whatever you want to call it. I don't have to get into live in the garbage dump and feel like this is where I belong. Oh, no, I've been delivered. I'm being delivered. He will deliver me, praise God. And that progression is there as well. I was saved. I'm being saved. I will be saved, praise God. I'll move into that realm of the blessing of the Lord and his touch and his strength in my life. Hallelujah. Keep the process going. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah saw that potter's wheel. He was in the potter's house. God told him to go there. What do you want me to see here, Lord? And he stood there and watched. And the potter was making a vessel. And it was flawed. And he just crumbled up that clay, mounded it all up again, flopped it right back down on the wheel, and started in again. And the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Can't I do that to Israel? Can't I make them again? Can't I form them again? Can't I shape them the way I want them to be? Don't jump off the potter's wheel. Amen. Make sure those nail-scarred hands are on your life, on your heart, on your being. Praise God. Shaping you, forming you, making you. Praise God. And oh, I love that closeness. I love that feel of his presence. Amen. I don't want to be wandering out here somewhere in the darkness. No, his light, because it's time. Amen. So close are we to where we need to be in the coming of the Lord. Praise God. The day of the Lord is at hand. The day, the hour, the moment, there's going to be that countdown. Praise God. And you know, remember Simeon? He comes to the temple. There's that young mother, that nervous father. They're so poor, they can't even afford the regular offering. They've got to have a dove, because the dove is for poor folks. And that's where Joseph and Mary are. But Simeon walks up to them, takes that little baby. Now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let thy servant depart. What was going on? He had been told by the Spirit that the Messiah would be in the temple that day. Oh my. Oh my. What if there's going to be that awareness that you awake with in that morning? Something special about today. Ooh. Something going to happen today. I need to be ready. I can't be lax. I can't just be complacent. I've got to be ready. Praise God. And then, oh my, it happens. And we're brought into his presence, changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Praise God. How incredible that will be, and the blessings of the Lord that would be there. So here they come. Show us a sign. Give us a sign. They're constantly asking for signs. The sign shop would have done pretty good in that day, I guess. So the Lord told him, you see a cloud come up in the west. You say, oh, it's going to rain. Yeah, because that cloud's coming from the Mediterranean. It'll come blowing in. It'll hit the mountains, and it'll start raining. You feel a warm wind coming from the south, and you know it's going to be a hot day. Well, the south is desert. The Dead Sea, the desert. Here comes that wind. Yep, sure enough, temperature is going to go up. They didn't have thermometers, I don't think, in those days. They just knew it's going to get warm. You read those signs, yet you don't know the signs about the Lord? Then he said, you look at the sky, and apparently this is where we get our little saying, red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in morning, sailors take warning. He said, you see the sky red at night, you know it's going to be a fair day tomorrow. You wake up in the morning and you see the sky red, you know the weather's going to change. You read those signs, but yet you don't see the signs around you, and you don't prepare yourself? You know, he's telling them, okay, these are the signs. And then he said, take a lesson from the fig tree. You see the leaves start to come forth. You see it start to bud. We're going to see it here in another few weeks. Always amazes me how almost overnight it turns green. And driving into Soldotna and it's brown. And the next day you drive into Soldotna and it's green along the highways. It amazes me. But the Lord's saying, look at that fig tree. You know when the leaves are starting to sprout, they're starting to spring forth. You know it's about summertime. Pay attention to the signs. Amen. God, help us not to be asleep, to be unaware, to be feeling like it doesn't matter. Oh, no. We don't want to miss out on that time. We don't want to miss out on that destination that the one who inhabits eternity is saying, come on, I want you to dwell with me. I dwell in a high and holy place. Come up higher. Praise God. I live in eternity where there is no time. Come and dwell with me. Praise God. I know the end from the beginning. Let my counsel stand in your mind and in your heart. Live by my counsel. Praise God. Come on. I want to show you even more. Leave the things of this world behind. Amen. Climb up to those new heights that I have in store for you. Oh, that God would get our attention today. There's lots of things screaming for your attention, isn't there? Lots of things that you don't want to pay attention to because it's trouble, it's heartache, it's hurt, it's damaging. Things that you would wish were not there. Oh, that we can put our eyes upon him. Amen. That's that old chorus, Sister Glover. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Praise God. Keep your eyes upon him, because it's time. Hallelujah. And we want to be ready. So easy now to forget what Pastor preached. So easy to forget what the scriptures say and just go right on. Yeah, it's time. Yeah, it's time. A good idea. And then ignore the details there. Cast off the works of darkness. Make no provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every detail we've got to pay attention to. Every detail we've got to implement in our lives in the best manner that we can, with prayer, with fasting, with reading the word, with obedience, with faithfulness in every aspect of our lives. Keep going. Keep going. Praise God. And oh, the thankfulness that we'll have in our hearts when we reach that other side. Think about that. I can hear my mom's laugh. And she gets really tickled. It just would kind of burble out of her. Not a real loud ha-ha, but just a quiet, trying to catch her breath laugh. Then I can hear my father-in-law's laugh. My Lord, you couldn't ignore it. You'd hear it everywhere. They're enjoying that right now, that presence, that power. And then so many others that we could name, so many others that we could be aware of. Praise God, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. It's time. Praise God. Stand with me, please. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Thank God, thank God. The devil wants to direct our attention, excuse me, in so many areas that are corrupt, so many situations that are distraught and debauchery, the garbage of the media and so on. And then he wants to discourage, pull us down, drain our enthusiasm, make us feel like, what's the use? But oh, if we can turn our eyes on him, praise God, and recognize he wants us to see him forever. He wants us to be in his presence for all eternity. He's making that invitation. I'll dwell with you. I'll lift you up. I'll bring you into my presence. Keep going. Praise God. Praise God. Close your eyes for just a moment now as Sister Glover sings this chorus. And consider what it means. Consider what it entails. Consider the possibilities. Praise God.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Yes. Oh, yes. Every temptation, every aspect of devastation, every situation that would try to pull you down and try to pull you away and try to distract you, let's turn our eyes upon him. Praise God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful we have that option and we can do it again and again. Praise God. And as they sing it again, let's make our way to the altar. Let's determine in our hearts we're not going to lose sight. We're not going to turn away from the goal. We recognize the pleasures of sin are just for a season. We know that. But we're going to continue on in our desire for the Lord, in our desire for Him. Praise God.
Lord.